and welcome to The Two Tones. Tony Mokler and Tony DeBolfo. Good morning. Oh, good morning. What am I saying? We exist in no time or space, do we? Because we're a podcast, Tony.
That's true. Wild and free, Tony. Greetings to you. Tough weekend at the office, fair to say.
It certainly was. We are, conducting something of a post-mortem on round five. This is episode six for anyone keeping tabs. Matt Clappe, I've just got to mention Matt Clappe there, premiership player, 95 from WA.
Yes, walked into Norton's on the Monday after the 95 grand final with a pair of shears, electric shears that he'd confiscated from the barbershop three doors up,
yeah,
and asked anyone if they wanted a free haircut. I put my hand up, Tone, and as I've often reminded him over the years, the best haircut I've ever had.
You have a magnificent head of hair, it must be said.
So it's a shock.
You had a lot
hair.
To work with.
You had a lot to work with, and I was more than happy to share some of my follicles with Mill Hanna on that particular Monday.
Isn't that funny? I read pretty much every article you wrote about Carlton that year. I've still got a few, believe it or not.
Careered away in the tipping that year at the Herald Sun. probably no surprise to anyone.
Yeah. Well, Tone, that was then. It's not now.
Very true, Tony. Life has changed, and we watch on, through squinting eyes at the work in progress, don't we? But we're on the way. We're a youthful team that is going to take time, as has been so often put to us by the people in high places that should know. And if you listen to the good judges externally, men like Paul Roos,
yeah,
they're all, calling for patience amongst Carlton supporters,
yes,
because it's not if but when it turns. And we just have to be patient, Tony, don't we?
Well, patience is thin on the ground. You can understand the frustration, in some cases the anger, but certainly the frustration that the length of the rebuild, we're in rebuild number three or whatever you want to term it. And I guess looking at the trajectory of this season, the JLT games were very promising. The Richmond game in round one, there were a lot of great signs. And I certainly thought, if that's the team we're feeling, with that kind of that much heart, that much pressure, that much effort, we will tolerate a season of honourable losses. But that hasn't been the case since. But can I just reiterate what you're saying? You're almost having to talk a lot of Carlton supporters off the ledge this week. And have to keep hammering that point that, and, I'm going to go to one of the tweets that our producer Lucy has put on if you want to read it out, Tone, by Martin Pakula. Now, he's not a man that I'd see eye to eye on a lot with, but he put out a really good tweet that is worth remembering for any Carlton supporters who are attempting to tear up their membership cards. Good luck if you can. It's made from very hard plastic. But can you just read out Martin Pakula's tweet, please, Tony?
You were aware of it, Tony, the Victorian Labor MP for Keysborough and the Attorney General and the Minister for Racing in the Dan Andrews government, an impassioned Carlton supporter, it has to be said, too. The voice of reason, Mark, too, after Chris Judd's article, I thought, about this topic this week. But Marty, in answer to your question, Tone, did put up an under-25 best Carlton Football Club team, which I'd like to share with you. All credit to Martin here. From the backs, Plowman, McCready, Doherty. Halfbacks, Williamson, Vietering, Marchbank. Centres, O'Brien, Cripps, Petrevsky, Seaton. Half forwards, Pickett, Kerno, Lang. Forwards, Fisher, McKay, Silvani. Could be Jack, could be Ben, who knows.
Yeah.
Then you've got the rucks, De Conning, Kennedy, Dow, with an interchange of Garlett, Cunningham, Kerr, and Byrne. So, with Martin's closing quote after that team, it will be okay. When you look at it, in that respect, it's not a bad list of names.
Exactly.
And all that list of names is telling me is we need games into our legs.
Yep.
When that happens, that's going to be we've got the makings of a pretty impressive goal to goal line, but if you look at those players around the spine, they're all, you know, capable young players that have been brought in by the Carlton Football Club for the long haul.
Yeah.
And if you just look at that team, you actually salivate, because I think that's a team that's probably going to stand firm for many, many years. It is a work in progress, Tone. Let's, you know, remind ourselves, and, you know, what is it, 42 players turned over in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
It's not a quick fix. It's not a snap your fingers, hey presto job.
It's not simply just getting new players in. It's getting new, better players in.
Well, that's very
conditioning
true.
Conditioning them, getting them, developing them as players that can suit a role, and sometimes play in any part of the ground or sometimes play in specific parts of the ground.
Yes.
And that does take time. There's also... And you can say it happens to every club, and we know that it's a given, but Carlton's run of injuries has just been, I would say, unusually bad in 2018, with Doherty.
Yeah, well, that wasn't great, was it? And then, you know, to lose Murphy in bizarre circumstances, as with the case in Hobart at the weekend, doesn't make it easy. Look, Tone, all teams fall victim to the dreaded injury curse. I suspect... The problem is we perhaps don't right now have the depth to cover those casualties. So that's where our players are really being tested, those that are left to pick up the slack, the young players, as we've pointed out. So it's hard yards at the moment, but it's all part of the learning curve. You know, I'm sure players will gain so much from, you know, these seemingly torrid experiences. They are torrid, you know, let's not gild the lily. They're tough yards that the players are taking here. But in the long run, you have to hope that, you know, the resolve will be strong, and you know, with games under the belt, these players are only going to get better.
That's right, because we do make the point a lot, and I guess it's worth making the point again. Younger players, there's a lot of players with under 50 games. There's some on-field leaders who are currently off-field sidelined through injury, so that's a factor as well. And, you know, in the midst of not a great game, we had the debut of Lachie O'Brien.
Yes.
Dura boy, so I'm very proud about that.
And I believe, Tone, I stand corrected here, but I believe his parents had to fly down from Mildura to Melbourne and then get a connecting flight to Hobart to see their boy turn out for round one. And I think Lachie might have told Julian Trentino in an interview post-match that his father used to ferry him everywhere to play footy. And, you know, when you think of that, it's great that that young fellow's parents can share in that moment of, you know, game number one for the Carlton Football Club, because, you know, they're so central to the journey of that young player.
Absolutely.
And, you wonder what might have been had Mr. O'Brien Senior not had a car. You know, what would Lachie have done with himself? Who knows? You're a Mildura boy. What would he have done?
He wouldn't have used the bus service. It wasn't a terribly good one when I was there. No.
But he looked a likely type, Tone, Lachie, has to be said. You know, the comment was made in the broadcast that I saw, well, he looks like he's meant to be there. He looks at home. He's not fazed or flustered by the tempo of the game. And I think, you know, we've got a beauty there in Lachie O'Brien, and he's got a few mates.
Paddy Dow, he's got a connection to him?
Yeah, well, I think they played junior football together, if memory serves, may have played representative football, I think, for a period of time. And I'm pretty sure Lachie was quoted as saying, having Paddy Dow here... at a time when both of them have been recruited to the club together, big power club in Melbourne.
Yeah.
It was fantastic for him to have someone like-minded to share the experience settling in.
Yeah.
And, well, he certainly seems to have done that, just on what I've seen anyway.
Well, yeah, and again, that points to an emerging talent, and one that we would really love to see flower here at the club, along with, all of his contemporaries. I'm talking, you know, players in their early 20s there.
Yes.
So, look, that's a big tick for Carlton recruitment.
It is. And, I think, you know, it's fair to say, you know, Brendan Bolton, you know, he's copying it from a fair few different sources at the moment, but he's holding firm, maintaining his revolve. And he said from the outset, you know, we're all on the journey. And,
yeah.
He's preaching unity, which has to prevail when times are tough like this one, but that's okay. That's all part of the experience. And in Bolts we trust. You know, we just have to give this group of players time. And I'm sure that, you know, Brendan, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's a senior coach of the Carlton Football Club. He's had 2 years and a bit with this team, and he's moulding a team that is going to be there for long-term sustainability. So let's all get behind him, Carlton people.
Now, on the radio show I host on Melbourne's Own 3AW, Australia Overnight from midnight, 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, I've had a number of callers, and what's been remarkable about that is certain supporters of other clubs have loved to get on the radio and revel in Carlton's current predicament.
Yes.
Other supporters, however, of other clubs have been just as willing to get on and defend Carlton. And one made the following point that, you know, Brendan Bolton, when Alistair Clarkson suffered his illness, jumped into the driver's seat.
Yes.
What was Bolton's record then?
Well, that's a point, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that's a fair point. Who made that call? Wasn't Toby from Newport, was it?
No, I'm not sure.
No, but look, it's you're right what you're saying. There is the manic, you know, demographic out there, but there are also voices of reason, people who understand the big picture. And the one thing you cannot say about Carlton is that they don't know where they're heading. There is a plan.
Yeah.
They're adhering to it. Supporters, by and large, understand where it is going. And you know, as I said last week, you know, Milton said it, didn't he? That, you know, good things come to those who wait.
Yeah.
We just have to be patient here. But this is a work in progress, and we're progressing.
How has it been, Tone? You spend more time at the club during the course of the week, but how has it been this week in the aftermath of the North game?
Oh, look, I don't think that it was, you know, you can't imagine it was hunky-dory in the rooms after the match.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was an 88-point hiding, and you know, you don't hide from those sorts of defeats.
Mind you, sorry, Tone, to interrupt, if I can just make the point, there were a couple of beltings over the course of the round.
Well, there were, and it's a staggering stat, isn't it, that there's, after four rounds, I think it's the first time that there hasn't been an undefeated team ever in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Which tells you that it is evening up for sure. Although, if you look at where we're sitting in Brisbane also, you know, maybe right now we're a little bit off the pace. Fair enough. I think that while the team, the coach wouldn't have been happy with that performance, the game moves on pretty quickly. And now it's West Coast, the subject of our observations and our energies and our focus this weekend. And the key here is, Tony, how well the players can come back from that drubbing in Hobart.
I'm going to get your votes in a second, Tone, but I know we've brought this up before, and apologies if it's a question without notice, but it's disposal and cuteness with the ball and, I guess, confidence of touch that is deserting Carlton at the moment. How do you remedy that in the course of a week? And I know a lot of Carlton supporters would be saying that is the thing that kills us. It's not the 88 points, 98 points, whatever, but it's just the poor disposal. It's the apparent lack of skills, basic skills that footballers at the AFL level should possess.
Look, I think it probably a lot of it has to do with the fact that players are under pressure.
Yeah.
And I mean, yes, I know what you're saying, and I've seen, I'm as frustrated as anyone sitting there and watching a player unable to hit a target from 15, 20 metres away.
Yeah.
You wonder, how can that be? But I suppose in the heat of battle, you've got players that are under enormous pressure. If you look at the sort of recent games, we seem to have been in the game for a period of time, and then we seem to fall away dramatically.
Yeah.
It's as if the levels of concentration and the energies can't be sustained, and that seems to be when these errors creep in. So I don't know how to answer your question, really, because the mistakes you see, they seem simplistic, and you would think, you know, work at it on the track, you quickly rectify the problem. These are players at the elite end who should be able to kick a footy and hit a target. Look, you know, maybe, as I said, because of the pressure applied, and maybe the difficulties the players are having came with that pressure means that, you know, some of the kicks and handballs are unfortunately errant. Maybe again with time and durability, as players come to terms with the pressures applied, they find a way and we'll start to see more targets hit. Now that's what we hope anyway, Tony.
Well,
I don't know if I've answered that question. Answered it a roundabout way.
No, you make a great politician, Tony DeMoffa. you've three votes, if you can, for the Carlton North Melbourne game in Hobart.
Yep.
As you said, 86 points to North, who are a team, can I just say, I would love to beat.
Yes.
It's been too long.
Yes.
And it's always good to beat North Melbourne or the Kangaroos, but look, it didn't happen
true.
This time. Congratulations to North. But the three votes, Tone.
Three votes, Tone. Again, you know, it's a hard exercise at the minute. But, you know, with Murphy's loss, I actually went for Dale Thomas. I thought just the experience and the old head there showing a little bit of poise and presence. I thought Dale Thomas was pretty good. Hasn't had a bad year, actually, for Carlton, it has to be said.
Yeah.
And I was impressed by the way he led the way for the team when, you know, we were under siege. Two votes. Look, he's had to pick up the slack with Bryce Gibbs gone and now Murph. Patrick Cripps, you know, you see him now and he seems to have two blokes hanging off both arms and has to push forward, somehow try and take a catch, you know, pack mark and then slot a goal. He's had to do it all at the moment. You've got to admire the way that he's going about his business because... He's leading the way and
he is
leadership material.
There's
no doubt
kid.
About it. He's been so impressive. And three votes to another one of our senior players, Tone, who, again, I think is travelling pretty well at the moment, Ed Curnow.
Yes.
I thought Ed, you know, gave it his all, as he always does, and just one of those unsung players that I think has been such a great servant to the Carlton Football Club. And we're lucky that we've got him in and around the contest because... He's always front and centre where the ball is long may continue.
Is there any chance Mrs. Curnow is pregnant again?
That is a question without notice. I'll follow that up with Ed when I see him.
It's like they're like the Hemsworth of football. Are there any other missing Curnows we don't know about?
On the couch. I think Ed's wife's presented, hasn't she? I'm pretty sure. Just thinking off the top, I think they've got a little one now. So I can't speak for Ed's mother. I'll defer that for another week.
Okay, let's fast track Junior if we could. Yeah. All right, round five against West Coast. Tony DeBolfo, club historian, can we just reflect on some of the absolute ding-dong tussles between Carlton and West Coast? I always remember, I know I've probably brought this up every time we play West Coast, but Greg Williams over, it was probably Subiaco, I'm guessing. Was it 94 or 90? Played an outstanding game.
Yes.
Well, that's not really saying much for Greg Williams, though, is it? It doesn't really narrow it down.
True.
But there have been some great tussles between West Coast and Carlton over the journey.
I can remember that game, Tone, around about that time, you know, when Big Earl took out Guy McKenna with that horrific shirt front. And the game where, was it the late Chris Mainwaring had a shot for goal from the boundary line late? And I think, did he miss the shot? I can recall.
Yes, and Carlton won by a point.
Yeah.
I think that was 93.
Yeah, I can recall Dean Rice bobbing up late in the game too and Craig Bradley to affect a couple of great moments in the game that swung the result our way.
Yeah.
And here, when you mentioned Greg Williams, of course, there was that famous game where...
Oh, the Cooters game.
Yes, and the goal that Tony Evans rushed through for West Coast, it was awarded a goal off Diesel's boot. Do you remember that?
Yes, because he started celebrating it.
Having gone up to the gold umpire and thanking Uncle Roy, I think it was, for that great decision.
Yeah.
So there have been some magnificent, you know, contests between West Coast and Carlton, as you rightly say. Again, the challenge is this week at the G. Can Carlton come back hard against an opponent that traditionally hasn't fared so well on the MCG?
Yeah.
You know, they're in form, the Eagles too. They've started to show some real signs back home. So it's going to be a tough contest, Tony. Are the players up to it? Let's hope we see a reversal in fortunes this week.
Can please Kennedy have a quiet one against us, because it's always his moment to shine, I've noticed.
Yes.
He's buried us in the past.
He has tended to make a habit of it, too.
Yeah. He's a hard man to dislike, I tell you. But when he's wearing West Coast colours playing his old club, I tell you, some dark thoughts go through my mind.
Yes, yes, yes. I share those with you.
So, that's at the MCG.
It is.
And it's a Carlton home game, obviously, so get on down. Murphy's injury, let's talk about that. He's injured his plantar fascia, which sounds like a fern my mother would grow. What is that?
You're probably asking the wrong person here, Tane, but when it happened, he immediately pointed to what seemed to be the arch of his foot.
Okay.
So, I'm no expert on matters medical, but... some of the worst injuries you see tend to be stress fractures that, afford players horrific episodes and trying to get back, and tend to put them out for a long period of time. From what I've heard from the medicos and Andrew McKay this week, they're holding out hope that it might only be a very short-term unavailability for Mark Murphy.
Yeah.
Scan's still to be confirmed, so we're still waiting on an outcome as we go to air. You just hope that it's not, as serious as it could be.
Who comes in for Murph?
Well, it's interesting, Tane, because the twos probably should have won the game in the finish. Got rolled pretty late in the game, but. Note with interest that Jed Lamb and Kim LeBoyce both kicked three goals for the Northern Blues. Harry McKay booted two. And I think Sam Rowe again got through no problem at all in his return after the knee. And the other one I think it should be noted is Andrew Phillips. Now, Andrew Phillips, I think, was best of field for Carlton, the ruckman.
Yeah.
So it's nice that there are players... pushing for senior selection. Let's be honest. We need pressure being applied for spots. So it'll be very interesting to see the makeup of the team this week. Maybe one, two, three players get the call up. Who knows? But we have got players, thankfully, knocking at the door that Coach Bolton could summon for the West Coast game.
Well, just speaking of injuries and those returning not to the senior squad but the VFL side. Alex Silvani, we watch his progress with a lot of interest.
Yes.
Their team is crying out for his experience and leadership at the moment, I think. Darcy Lang, tell us about Darcy Lang.
Well, Darcy Lang's another one who's had a delayed start, the Geelong recruit, who I think, we all want to get a bit of a look at. Hopefully returns this week. And I think, from what I've gleaned from... Brendan Bolton, in terms of players returning from injury, he has said, want to see players get stability. So, in other words, get a game under their belt and then perhaps build on that game and get, a degree of match hardness so that when they eventually win the call-up, they're in a position to string two, three, four, five, six games together, that they don't suddenly get caught up and end up back in the dew kickers.
Yeah.
So you would have to think that Darcy Lang, if he plays this week, will get a game, maybe two under the belt, and then hopefully press for senior selection, all being well.
What position would he play?
Well, I think Darcy Lang's an on-baller and just a player that we'll hopefully be able to use around the contests.
Yeah.
It was a player that probably didn't get a look in at Geelong, given the abundance of riches around the footy. But you'd like to think, if he displays the wherewithal, he'll definitely be part of the engine room when he comes good injury-wise.
Pressing for selection. Okay,
yes.
Well, we certainly want that to happen. Now, Tone, the West Coast game, 4:35 at the MCG this Saturday.
Yeah, twilight game,
there.
Tone.
Yep.
Twilight game. And I think weather-wise it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be 21-22.
Oh, nice.
So it'll be nice conditions for a good game of footy. Let's hope the home team turns it on and comes back hard after the events of Hobart last Saturday.
Well, provided the jet lag from the Hobart trip has worn off. Tone, you of
well,
course...
Well, they didn't come back on a kitty hawk, did they?
No, no, you know all about the... you know all about... Well, the trip back from Tasmania in fine style. You didn't do it in a Learjet.
Yeah, we love that story. Well, I don't come back in anything less, Tony. You know that.
Now, Tone, I was thinking of you this week because it was a great day for anyone who loves this magnificent ground of Princess Park. And finally, common sense.
Yes.
Our taxes being used for good instead of evil.
Yes.
What did you make of that? The pledge to make Icon Park the... I guess the spiritual home of women's football.
Well said, Tony. When I heard the news come through, it was like an hallelujah moment,
yeah.
And it was magnificent to hear that finally, some funding is going to be allocated to this great place we all know and love. I think we've mentioned previously, Tony, that we saw what had happened down at the Junction Oval with, I think, a $40 million pledge to turn that into the home of cricket.
Yeah.
And what they actually did down there, they include some new facilities but also refurbished the old. And, I think the Blackie Ironmonger grandstand, not dissimilar to the Gardner,
yeah.
was brought back to its former glory. And the old with the new are just irresistible. And it's going to be a long time home of Victorian football. Well, here, it may well be, as they're saying, the hub of women's football. And I think what we're going to see also is perhaps a delightful smattering of old with the new.
Yeah.
The Gardner Stand is heritage listed. It cannot be demolished. It has to be
Wonderful.
Maintained.
Yep.
So you would have to think that, the grand old girl is going to get a facelift, and it's going to be magnificent to see the Gardner Stand in its former glory. I am in contact with descendants of the great John Gardner, and I look forward to that day when refurbishments commence, because I don't think there'll be anyone more chuffed than they that the great Tiger Gardner, his memory is to be perpetuated in that glorious stand that is now upwards of 110, 111 years old and still stands proudly, albeit a little battered and bruised. But we're going to see it return to its former glory.
Like the club itself, Tone.
Yes.
How extensive is this refit? Will it be the whole ground, or is it just going to be parts of it? There's going to be new change rooms put in, I imagine. What is the scope of it,
well,
as far as you know?
Well, I don't know too much about the detail at this stage, Tony. I suppose that'll be revealed in the fullness of time, but I suspect that there will be parts of the ground that will make way for new facilities. I know that the area we're sitting in now, the Vizzy Park redevelopment, as it was, now Icon Park, was always considered Plan A or Phase A of the redevelopment.
Yeah.
I think Phase B, what am I trying to say here, accounts for probably the southwestern side.
There's my notes say... The club intends to demolish facilities in the southwest corner of Icon Park to make way for additional elite facilities, including an education hub and an administration area to cater for the expansion growth of female football and the broader current football.
Well, if they're heading southwest from where we are, that will eat into the Pratt Stand. And I know that if you've ever watched football from the old One Eyed Hill, on what was the old Elliott Stand, now the Hero Stand side, you will see. Over the top of the Pratt Stand, the city skyline, and behind the palm trees that flank that side of the ground.
Yeah.
So what we'll probably see is a really glorious vista open up there, looking straight through the city. We've actually seen it at the Witten Oval more recently. If you have a look at games that have been held there through the summer, you get that glorious city skyline behind. And I think, this is my summation of it all, that the AFL really wants to bring a community feel back to Australian rules football at the elite end, and it's just fabulous that money is being poured into this place, because while it's sad to see AFL games no longer played here, still love to see the old Princess Park ground living and breathing and swelling with spectators on match day. Take it every day of the week, Tone.
there can be no fonder memory for any true Carlton supporter than the sound of this place erupting in the Premiership quarter in the glory days. My God, what a place to be.
Do you have a favourite moment, Tone, of your time here?
A buzzer's mark.
Oh, you were
yes,
there for
I was
that?
At that game.
The first leg of the mark of the year goal of your double.
Oh, incredible. My brother and I used to come in from Canterbury. We'd come in on the train, the tram up Royal Parade, and just the noise, the atmosphere, absolutely like nothing else. What about you, Tone?
Yeah, look, you think back to, I mean, I remember the Bradley goal, the Craig Bradley goal against West Coast, goal of the year in 94. Well, it should have been. In my opinion, it was the best goal that's ever kicked by a Carlton player here.
What, Carlton got gypped for either goal or mark of the year?
Yeah, by some Collingwood hack named Mick McGuad. And also on the wrong end of it, the Malcolm Blight goal, after the siren here in the mid-70s. I was here for that one. And I reckon as we speak, Tone, that torpedo punt is still in the air. It's still going.
Air traffic control are currently routing aircraft around it.
Yeah. So there great days, Tone. And I had the great privilege too in another life of covering games of football from the old press box. No longer with us, of course, but that stood for 50 years, from about 34 through to 86, when Ron Barassi cast the first ceremonial blow to bring it down. But I'm old enough to remember covering games of football for the old press box, and there was no eave above the window, Tone, and when the winter rains hit, it was like sleet hitting the glass side on. I couldn't see what I was reporting, and well, that was the excuse used for my poor coverage of events.
Yes, well, those articles wrote themselves back in the day. Yeah. Tony Adolfo, that's all we have time for.
Thank you, Tone. Lovely to be here.
So we look forward to seeing you all at the MCG at 4:40 or there-ish on Saturday against West Coast. Get on down, support the team, support the rebuild, keep the faith, stick fat with the Blues. They're the greatest team around. I'm Tony Moakley. We'll catch you next week for the two times. Thank you to Lucy, our producer.
Bye-bye.